We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years. I have a special guest joining me in Andy Liu's absence. I've brought in the person I consider most similar to Andy Liu, and that is Seth Partnow. Seth, how you doing, my man?
That might be the single meanest thing anyone has ever said to me.
There we go. So you wrote something on the Dunked On podcast last week, which is perfect considering the Wars were starting a road trip against the Oklahoma City Thunder starting Monday, the 30th of January. You wrote about the Warriors' road woes, and I figured you're the perfect person to bring on right now. The numbers are what they are. The Warriors are a beautiful 6-18 on the road right now going into the season. And I kind of just want you laid out the data about just basically, if you're not at least 500 on the road, the data doesn't suggest you're a contender. But before we get into that, I kind of want to ask you, why do you think the Warriors are so bad on the road? Because this is a team that's, and it's not the same parts, but the core of this team has won a road playoff game in every playoff series I've ever been in. It's always been kind of a defining quality of them. Last year they won a road game in every playoff series. Why do you think they're not just bad on the road, they're maybe the worst team in the league on the road?
It's a great question, and it sort of ties into I think I'm probably going to anticipate a question you have later here. Is the road stuff more or less concerning than kind of the overall kind of 500-ish record? And I don't know. They do not necessarily have the profile of a team that you would expect to be structurally better at home than on the road.
Unless not with this kind of split, for sure.
Yeah. Unless there's something you want to say about, like, I don't know, is there road stuff? You've watched, all or most of the games. I've watched them all, sadly. Yeah. Have the road games featured an unusual number of, like, Draymond Green foul trouble games? Those are the kinds of only thing that I could think of that would, it's not so like they're reliant on young players.
I have two data points for you, which at least partially play into this. So one, everyone knows about the 3-7 start, which had an 0-5 road trip with losses to the Detroit, Orlando, Charlotte, to the world. Basically the exact type of road trip you expect to go 4-1 on if you're a contender, right? Not good teams. And the rotation they used on that road trip got scrapped after said road trip because it wasn't working. Most namely, like James Wiseman getting minutes, Moses Moody getting minutes, and he hasn't gotten back into the rotation. Maybe he will, but who knows? They're playing Jamichael at the four next to Wise. So the splits on that road trip were breathtaking. Like starting lineup plus 20 net. Bench lineup minus 25 net, like the type of thing that's just absurdly insane. So like if you take that 0-5 out of it, it's one thing. There's also the 1-5 road trip in December. So where Steph got hurt in the second game on the road trip and they just proceeded to lose that whole way out. They also had no Wiggins on that road trip. And if there's one thing we can say when you look at this team is they are kind of thin on the wing relative to Warriors team. So combine those two injuries on the second one and just a who knows what rotation of the first one, that's one in nine, you could say, between those two. I'd say 1-10, but they did lose one of those games with Steph playing. So once you take that away, now you're talking like 5-9, 5-8, which is maybe more what you'd expect from this team on the road. Maybe closer to, like, it's still not good. It's just, you know, 6-18's, it's
stark.
I mean, yeah, that's like Wembanyama territory.
I think that gets us back to some of it. But as you said, they're even in, you know, controlling for that. And that was the first thing I looked at. Like, have they been significantly better in road games with Steph playing? No. Have they really been so some of that might be like the, like, you know, we might call that the Wiseman portion of the season. Okay. That accounts for some of the gap, but even, you know, call it 5-10, a 33% team on the road. Even that is not a great resume for a playoff advancement type team. Like,
yeah.
I think there's been one team, like, I want to say there's been, I don't think there's been any teams that have played that poorly on the road that have won a playoff series.
I mean, the only teams I can think of tend to be teams that make mid-season moves that tend to ignite a different team, in which case, you know, the data you have that shows that they were terrible isn't necessarily analogous to the team that's riding into the playoffs, or like injuries is the other one, which is same concept. I'm looking at it right now. Like, they're not shooting particularly worse on the road, you know, 36.1% from three at home, 35.6% on the, so 0.5% difference there. You know, there's not a tangible difference in that stuff. Draymond did say this. This is a quote from Kendra Andrews around Christmas time, right when they came home from that road trip where they just got, you know, kind of beaten to death. Right now, I think we're very fragile. You start going through these things and you start believing them. Once you start believing them, it becomes who you are. The only way to break them is be mentally tough. I think this is a team that has struggled with the spirit perspective since the road trip began. It's a bit frustrating. You can make what you want of it being on the road versus being at home, but it's mental. It's a team struggling mentally, and that makes it hard to overcome anything else. So before I let you answer that, I do think the overarching theme is they're not defending. You know, that's kind of always been the calling card. And I think it's cliche, but defense travels. Defense is one of those things where it's a little easier to ride through, like, the lumps that can come on the road if you can get a stop.
I buy all that. Like, those, what Draymond is talking about, that's one of those things that this is sort of the danger area for someone who comes at this primarily from a statistical perspective. Is it's one of those things, like, I've been up and close and personal, and yeah, spirit, team spirit, whatever you want to call it, and spirit is kind of the buzzword in the NBA for playing with a particular kind of that is undoubtedly important. It's one of those things that I know it's important. I can't measure it. So I don't know, you know, is that something that's intrinsic to a team? Is it ephemeral and something they can get back? Or is it just the kind of thing that it just means they're not good enough?
The armchair psychologist might say that the Draymond punch in the preseason fractured the team. And defense is one of those things where it's like, you know, it requires effort. It requires being on a string. And if you're not on the same page with each other and guys throw their hands in the air when another team goes on a run, because every team's going to go on a run, even if you do know how to defend. Yeah, maybe that's part of it. I guess I'm asking questions here. I don't know. Yeah. It's like, I'm trying to decide how much of this is fixable versus personnel issues, you know, like, because fixable has to do with, like, we need to focus and clean up some things. Personnel issues is like, Anthony Lamb is not capable of, you know, guarding Giannis because genetics and talent exist, right?
Right.
So,
I don't know. And these, again, this is that's sort of getting back to the, like, is the road record or the overall record more concerning? And, you know, like it's one of those things that is this predictive, or are the Warriors just one of those teams that has a weird thing going on? I don't know. So I'll take it from a broader, not necessarily mm-hmm. just the road. This is something that Mo Dekeel has been hitting on a lot. I think, especially for the Warriors, I think Kevon Looney is a better basketball player than Jordan Poole. And the Warriors are not deploying in terms of minute allotments, in terms of who's starting games. They are not playing as if that is true. And so that, in terms of fixable, that seems something that is fixable. Like, can you close with Looney? They, in some of the games that they've played, they certainly can. But I don't know.
I don't think going small is the recipe for fixing the defense. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Given the lineup combo. Yeah, I mean, so it does, I don't want to say it's a personnel issue, but like, it is worth calling out. The reason Steve switched the lineup was basically they used two guys at center, Draymond and Looney. And and obviously there's going to be some overlap minutes where they play both of them together, but he didn't need those to be at the start of the quarter for rotation purposes. It makes sense, honestly, from that perspective, but I don't think they have the wing depth to play Draymond at center as much as they, it sucks because he's still very good at center, but you kind of need the right amount of size around him to make it work.
Yeah. And your lineup of five best guys has both of them.
True.
So, like,
until there's a roster change.
True. Yeah. So I think while understanding wanting to, from a rotation standpoint, you also just want your best five guys on the floor as much as possible. And like, you know, bring a guy off the bench does help to balance rotation in some way, but that also means Jordan Poole is playing more than Kevon Looney, and that's wrong.
But he was playing more than Looney when Looney was starting.
Yeah.
And well, some of that
I think that's also a problem, frankly.
But I think part of that is, I don't know if Looney can play 30 minutes every game. He's had more hip surgeries than by the way, he's still 26. but yeah, I mean, he's clearly one of those guys where it's like the amount of injuries he's had over the year. And it's amazing. He hasn't missed a game in 2 years, but part of that is because he's probably a 20 minute per game guy, you know? So maybe it does speak to, you know, they're thin.
Yeah.
They could use another 20 minute per game guy.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I mean, I think that I think that's a combination of personnel, available personnel and personnel deployment. Mm-hmm. Issue.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What would you think about them starting Kuminga in Jordan Poole's place? Obviously, he's not better than Looney in terms of winning and losing today, but you are... I mean, he fits the physical profile of the type of wing they want to put with Wiggins and Draymond in a small ball lineup. Whether he's there developmentally is a different question, but there's some positive signs.
I mean, I think in frankly getting him reps with the Draymond, Steph, you know, Clay group can't hurt.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that seems reasonable. But I think sort of the null hypothesis for sort of any of this stuff is I think it's like a Jimmy Johnson quote or something like that. It's Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's.
Right.
And I think that's until proven otherwise. I think you start from there and say the first thing that fixes this is better players. And, sure. And I think that if you wanted to, like, we can pick at like the road play, you can pick at the rotations, you can pick at anything else. They just need more dudes.
Yeah. They lost two of their main eight dudes, two guys who played 20 minutes per game in the finals. Dante's replacing one of them. Different type of player, but at least he's given them 20 good minutes. And they haven't replaced the other. That simple, you know? And I'm just talking about the front eight. They also got good minutes from Bielitz and some other guys throughout the season. Damian Lee played over 1,000 minutes for them. He was generally pretty good for them. Juan Toscano, same thing. So some of it is just losing productive minutes.
And I think that, you know, that I think that's where we start the inquiry. Because I think, frankly, when the Warriors have been good, like, you're winning games, you're up by 15. So the lull when you do some weird lineup stuff is okay. Well, now we're only up seven instead of right. We're up seven. Now we did some weird lineup stuff and we're down one.
True. True. Yeah. So definitely part of it. All right. They got 33 games left. They're 6-18 on the road. But the funniest thing is, you know, being, they're 500, so is every team in the West from the 4 seed to the 13 seed, give or take a game or so in either direction. One, have you ever seen anything like the Western standings right now?
Nope. I wrote about this, I don't know, 10 days ago or so. Uh-huh. This is at that point in the season, like roughly a little bit over halfway, probably like 43, 44 games on average for every team. There were 18 teams that were on pace to win between 35 and 49 games. Two more than there have ever been at that point in the season. There were only five teams that were under 35 pace, which is the lowest in the last 20 years by a couple teams.
By the way, also why trades are going to be impossible. Yes. Because no one's selling.
Yeah. No, it was talking about why, like, the trade deadline is not just the play-in. It's the fact that even outside of the play-in, like, this is the season where there's the worst best team and the best worst team. And everyone's closer together. So, no, I think we haven't really seen. And it's not even like, you know, 2 years ago. So 2 years ago, I had like the last three seasons, last four seasons have all been.
Well, we did four seasons in three seasons. Yeah. So
yeah. Last year when we had the really weird, like November to January period, when lineups were so in flux because was it Omicron at that? Was it Delta? Was it one of the sure. variants? Like, you know, we had a bunch of teams. Like, we're not even having weirdness like that. It's just there's a bunch of teams that are just in the middle this year.
Yeah. I mean, the topic du jour the last week is too much resting. And I'm sure some of that is part of it. Like, you know, there's just more and more, you know, okay, it's the Warriors, but no Steph and Draymond, you know, that type of stuff going on. But like, I think everyone's just kind of average.
I think we're really, I thought this was going to be the case last year. And it kind of was. The Warriors kind of came on and sort of, you know, if I had to, if I had to bet last hurrah the dynasty, which sort of
that's enough.
But that sort of upended the overall, that in that we are in a, you know, the NBA history is sort of defined in dynastic terms. And mm-hmm. we're sort of, even if the Warriors are pretty good, we are in the, like that Warriors title team last year is, you would not put it in the same category.
It's not in the 67 to 73 win, like walk it mid, anything below 60 wins is disappointment. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're kind of in this interregnum between, you know, it was the Bulls and then there's a little bit of a foul period. Then it was the Lakers.
Sure.
And then there was a little bit of a little bit of weirdness where like the Pistons were like in the Spurs were kind of trading stuff off. And then it was like the Celtics and Lakers again. And that got us to the Heatles. And then that got us to the Warriors. And we're sort of between again.
Yeah. It does feel like we're in a period of a bunch of parity, mostly because no one's great.
Yeah.
No one stands out. Even like the Celtics and Nuggets who are running away and will probably win 55 plus games. They don't have juggernaut vibes to me. They're good teams, but they're not juggernauts.
I mean, the Nuggets seem like they have the most potential to be thus.
Sure.
But you know,
there's still some things there, but yeah.
But the just as they keep having guys kind of get nicked up, that sort of is keeping them from really just like going on going on a 14-2 jag.
Sure. Like I said, 6-18. Give me your prediction for where the Warriors end with that road record. They have 17 road games left, predominantly West. They've taken care of their two large East Coast trips. They've played a good chunk of the East. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but their schedule, quite frankly, their schedule home and road is way more West heavy than anything. But yeah, the road games are definitely West heavy the whole way out.
I mean, I would think that they're got 17 games left, like 7-10, 8-9. Just like a little bit under 500. So that means they finish up, what is that, like 13-28 still doesn't look very good, does it?
Yeah, they really only have one road game in the East the rest of the way. They go to Atlanta. It's mixed into a Memphis trip, which is I'm looking at the schedule here. It's a lot of Portland, a lot of Minnesota, a lot of Los Angeles, Oklahoma.
Those aren't juggernaut teams, but those are also not like, well, mark that as a W teams.
No, these are all, they're just like the Warriors. They're all 500 teams.
Yep.
Except for Houston. Anyway, but yeah, no, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where they end. I do think they have a run in them, but, just given the fact that we're almost 50 games in and they're pretty much 500, like, what does a run in the final 30 really mean? Does that mean they get to 46-36? You know, that's probably the high end of where they can get record wise.
I mean, you mentioned the thing that, you know, you kind of throw the previous record out of the window. Mm-hmm. They make a move.
True.
And like, I have been fairly outspokenly critical of the two timelines thing. And I would like to renew that. And say, hey, you know,
well, you've come to the right place, my friend.
Now, I feel like the weird thing is the guy that could help them the most now is probably also the guy who could do the most for them in terms of going all in.
Shocking. The guy who actually plays has trade value. So,
but
different conversation. Yeah. Like, did they bungle?
Yes.
Other guys trade value by like, okay, but Steve Kerr won't play him and that guy knows what he's doing as a coach. So why should I trade you anything of value for him?
Yeah. I mean, I think absent sort of the, no, seriously, he's going to be great nonsense about Wiseman.
Uh-huh.
I think, hey, he's hurt. He's sort of was developmentally behind, but he's talented. The problem is developmentally behind in Warriors basketball don't mix. Both
right.
Because A, we're too good. B, the style of play is not like,
it's not for beginners.
Yeah, exactly. We play expert level basketball, and you know, there have been the fact that Juan Toscano-Anderson can be a viable Warrior and Kelly Oubre can't.
Yeah. Whereas like how many of the other 29 teams, how many of them pick Juan over Kelly? Ignoring contracts and everything.
Do I want either of them in my playoff rotation? And Juan seems like a better vibes guy on the bench, but that's not the question that's being asked.
Really. Yeah. All this points to, I'm trying not to get into that stuff because we're going to get into it a bazillion other times. But yeah, it's, we got 8 days till that. Nine days. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I do wonder if we throw out those two long, really disappointing East Coast trips, which they were just unprepared for a myriad of reasons, if they don't become more of a 500 team on the road the rest of the way. But it'll be interesting to see.
It will be interesting. And there's still, you know, you've always got best player in the series equity.
Yes.
With Steph. And that is a powerful playoff weapon. You just,
and guys who have been there before, yeah. Like, you know,
which is also important. Interestingly, there's basically been two teams that have made the finals without a ton of playoff experience. I think it's
Warriors.
The 14-15 Warriors.
They kind of skipped a step.
Yep.
And then they justified it with the next decade.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's like, oh yes, if you have three Hall of Famers, you can.
If we knew yeah. back then what they were, yeah. then we wouldn't have thought it was yeah. skipping a step. Yeah. But yes,
three early prime Hall of Famers and probably one Hall of Fame veteran in
eight. Yeah.
Like, okay. Or the 2021 Suns, which was a little bit of a weird season in playoffs,
and call it a fluke.
And B, like, you've also got, like, you know, the, you know, one of the top floor general type guys of all time in CP3.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we can get out of here on that one.
So, but yes, that having that experience is a big, big, big advantage, I think, in terms of outkicking their, what would be their normal coverage in terms of playoff success.
All right, Seth. Well, I appreciate you.
Cool.
Tell people where they can find you.
Oh man, you can, most relevant to Sam, you can find me and Mo. We're trying to do Wednesday nights, but we're kind of bouncing around a little bit on Playback. You can read some of my stuff on Dunked on Prime, and it's got a mock trade deadline sale going. Listen to me on Nerder at The Athletic. And I've also got the coming up soon, the infamous update of the player tiers for midseason. This is coming up soon.
Oh, it's my favorite when you set the timeline on fire. All right, Seth. Appreciate you, sir.
Thanks a lot.